Okay. Now, pay Vavam Aleph. Increase in Prozmal al Hakarka. Sweet, right on time. So it says in Pei Vav that you can only write a Prozmal if there's ground, if somebody has ground. I think Rashi in Gittin says that the reason is because normally a person only will lend somebody money if he has some kind of a achrayus. So therefore, a halva without karka is a musad loy shchicha. A musad loy shchicha goes around banon. So in Mela, there was no din of prosbol otherwise. That's what I remember. I don't know. I didn't look it up in a long time. Rav Amar Rav Husha yehei karka l'malva l'loy. Rav says that everyone has to have karka, both the lender and the borrower. Rav Yechanan Amar l'malva avapishayin l'loy avapishayin l'malva, that it doesn't matter. As long as one side has karka, doesn't matter if the other side does not.
That's what the Mishnah
says. Yeah. Rav seems to me not like the Mishnah. Correct. Why does the lender have to have land? So if the borrower were to sell his real property, the lender could transfer some land to him to maintain his eligibility for prosbol. Anyway, whatever. So the Gemara, ain loy karka lachayavim loy karka. If someone doesn't have land, meaning the guy that borrows the money, the loiva, does not have any land, but the loiva has other people who owe him money, and those people who owe him money have land, then kaisen loy prosbol. Kaisen loy prosbol. Wow. If we gave out free Gemaras every night, we would have a big crowd.
I go for the people that's getting ready for tomorrow night.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it at the end.
We'll talk about it.
I doubt that highly. Ain't like karka looking up, I'm like karka, because in the principle you could write a principle. But Bob Hashem Rav, he says the following Kiddush. Mishain lay la kelachachad b'tach sadehu, because in the principle, if a person only has a stalk of cabbage in someone else's field, we could write a prosbol for him.
A stalk of cabbage. Enough land that you can grow a stalk of
so
cabbage.
So he says, on the 6th, he says, although he has no land, ownership in the stalk alone, which is attached to the land, is enough.
Wow.
Unbelievable Kiddush.
Is this a chov or is it a chov?
Very good. So you're asking a good question. So in other words, why, if the malve is going to be mazaka, a piece of land to the love, should the love necessarily be kunit? It's in the love's interest not to have any land, right? Mm-hmm. Does he bring that question on the bottom?
No, that question was on 85B.
It was brought up earlier, I remember that.
It was brought up earlier, you said
it was a kula of prosbol. Was it kula prosbol shonukan? Right. Even though normally we ain't kav lo shofonav or befonav, unless he's masking, but here you can force the issue.
So it's not the value of the land, it's the fact that you're attached to these.
You're attached, no, you have to, this is before you could write a prosbol. You must have a land. Why do you have to have land? Because you have to have. Okay, so you're saying that the reason why you have to have land is so that you could give the prosbol some kind of value.
Jurisdiction of the basin, no?
I don't know. Why is land necessary for a jurisdiction?
Land is kehilu. It's like the mashkin. It's kehilu. It's gavoy.
It's like it's gavoy. Okay.
It's 85
day footnote 2. There's a question about Zophon. Okay. Very good. So now the Gemara says. Yeah. The Gemara says the following question. Hatani hashutofim v'ha arisin v'ha pitropin ein lahem prosbol. That people who are partners or sharecroppers or guardians cannot have, they have no prosbul. In other words, the ownership or management of property is not enough to write a prosbul. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that I can't point to anything and say that it's mine. We'll see in a second. The Gemara is asking a question, right? Why are you saying that one stalk of cabbage is adequate to write a prosbul? L'chora, these people, if you're a partner, you own half the karka. So that's a lot more than one little stalk of cabbage. He has much more shaykhas to the karka than the guy who has a stalk of cabbage. So what's going on over here? Why can't they write a prosbul? Now, if you remember, there was a case in the Mishnah about apotropos, right? Right? We mentioned apotropos in the Mishnah also, no?
Yeah.
The Mishnah, Reb Chutzpah mentioned apotropos? Where does it say that? Yeah, he said, Christ, right, he said two things. Reb Chutzpah said on Pehei on Aleph, he said, Reb Chutzpah Soimer, Christ in the Adam al-Nechse Yishtai, Uli Yisoimim al-Nechse Apotropin. That the Yisoimim can have, even though the Yisoimim don't own any karka, we said that if the Apotropos owns karka, that you could write a prosbul for the Yisoimim on the basis of the ownership of the karka of the Apotropos. So over here we're saying all of a sudden there's this brisa that says Hashutrin Haharisin Hapotropin Ein Lahem Prosbul. There's no prosbul for an Apotropos himself. So it might be a steer, no? Okay, so let's just leave that on the side for the moment. But let's just focus on the question. So the question is, what's the difference between the cabbage and the shutfis, for instance? That's the strongest question, right?
Having one stalk versus a partner who owns half of everything that's
there. Correct. That would be the strongest part of the question. Is there a question from any other of these other examples? So let's say the arisen. The sharecropper, is that also a kasha?
Yeah.
So he's going to get that's a lot more than a stalk of cabbage. Yeah.
It's not about the volume, it's about the ability to use as collateral, or the ability to, he has no bylaws.
So the question is, that's the question, right? So that's the core of the question. So the arisen, I wouldn't hear the kasha so stark, because he gets a portion of what he produced for the owner, but doesn't own anything himself. So I don't think it would be such a kasha from the arisen.
It's better to own one stalk of cabbage than the shutfin and everything else.
Well, wait a second. I wasn't asking for the shutfin part. I'm going step by step here. Okay. I want to see, is there a kasha? So apotropin, arisen, we don't see any kasha. What about the apotropin case? Is there
he doesn't own anything. It all belongs to the orphan.
So you're assuming apotropin means that you can't write a prosbul on the basis of the karka that's owned by the yisoimim for an alva that the apotropos wants to make.
Yeah, if it's the yisoimim that are making it and he is their power of attorney, then
that's
it's different.
Okay. Yeah.
So if he apotropos owns karka, so you're answering the kasha from the Mishnah. So the case of the Mishnah, you're saying, was the case where the Yisoimim did not have any karka, the apotropos had the karka, so that's when it says you could write a prosbul for the Yisoimim for the apotropos. But this case is the apotropos wants to borrow money and write a prosbul on the basis of the karka that the Yisoimim own. Okay, so if that's the pshat, would there be a kasha on the case of the cabbage from the apotropos case? Again, no ownership whatsoever. So the only real kasha here is from the shutfim, the way I see it. Shutfim, I have a 50% ownership.
Yeah, but 50% is only a part of each piece of the land. It doesn't seem to be enough based on...
Never seems to be enough. Okay.
A whole of something.
That seems to be the answer to the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, Taman kol kalach v'kalach shal shutfasu. Over there, every single cabbage stock has a partnership. There's no real ownership in any one stock. Bram hacha hu shelo. But in this case, when Boss said, Misha ein lo elo, kelach echa b'tosadehu, that there he did have a complete ownership of one stock at least. So that's at least better. Let's go a little further. Now the Gemara is going to ask the same question. That can you write a principle for the Apa Trappist on the basis of what the Yisomim own? Let's learn it from this case. the way you were just learning, we just said that you can't write it up. So what was the whole kasha of the Gemara?
Does he have to the Yisomim?
So the pshat is that he's the apotropos. The fact that he oversees,
he makes
all the decisions, and he has oversight on all the property. Mm-hmm. So that gives him enough shaykhus to it to make a prosbol on it. That's the third pshat.
More than a lawyer
who has your escrow. A prosbol for
them. What's that? No, it's for him. For him, we're talking about here. This case is him. The Gemara says, "Ma'al lichtav on the apotropos on next day's son." So the Gemara says, so the Gemara is going to prove it from here. So it says, you write a shtar for a man for the chosim of his wife. So his wife is, it says over here in the English at the top, that the man, that the husband is equivalent to a guardian over his wife's property. So it says you can write a principle for the husband based on his wife's property. So it could be written for guardian based on the property of the orphans. So we had some questions on this, and Rav Chaim explains it like this. He says the Gemara ignored the brayse that we just said a minute ago of Hashutvim Vaharisim Vahapetropsim Ein Lahem Prosbol. So we just said he can't have a prosbol. That's going according to the Rabbanon who disagree with the Putzmas in the Mishnah. That's the way he learns. That even though the Mishnah is Stam, it doesn't quote any Machlaikas, but the way he's learning the Gemara, he says it's Muchach from the Gemara is the way he writes it. Rav Putzmas says that the Yisoyimim, you write for Yisoyimim on Nixi Apotropin. Who are then you go vice versa, you go Apotropin on Nixi Yisoyimim, because there's no difference. It's a reciprocal relationship. Let's just accept that for the time being. And therefore, the Gemara felt that there's a machlokas, right? There's a machlokas against Rav Chutzpah. So the Rabbanon disagree with him, and they hold you would not be able to write for Yisayim HaMonachsei Avatropin. And that's why this Braisa that we just quoted, an Amud Aleph, that says that the Apotropin don't have a prosbol, that's going to be coming out like the Rabbanon who disagreed in the Mishnah. So it's you got that? So there's a map between the Rabbanon and this Braisa. Now the Gemara is asking Akasha, but according to Chutzpahs, do you say that it's reciprocal? So the Gemara is proving from the fact that you see by the Ishal Baila, so too over here. So then the question then becomes, but the woman has a shutfis in the Nixay Malug. So then what was the raya from the woman anyway? Because she's anyway a shutif. So the answer must be that she doesn't, that we're talking about a case where the man does not have any, as he say it? Brought it over here. It's a bir halacha, perik tas halacha, chaf. So he says over here, chashal mikomokam hi gam ken shutfafes bazeh. She's a shutaf in it. So I find with Reb Chutzpah's slow spherally by so the layal down shutaf in Lahan Puzbol. You have to say this is according to Reb Chutzpah's, and he doesn't hold from that brisa. Okay? So that's what you've got to keep in mind. So Reb Chutzpah doesn't agree with that brisa that shutafim don't have what's his name? Puzbol. Okay? So he argues on the whole thing. Okay. What about a woman on the nechasim of her husband? So Nishmina Ben Adam, Hainly Yisomim on Nefsi Apotropin. So the same way the Yisomim can write prosbo for the Apotropins, because the Apotropin are the people who are the who's the overseer. So too the husband's the overseer on his wife's Nechasim. So he can write, she can write a prosbo on her property as well, on her loans as well. That's what the Maskana is over here. Okay.
I'm not sure I understand it. So if the guardian has, what are we ending up with? The guardian has to have land, or he can use the orphan's land for his loan?
The fact of the matter is, it's a machlagis tanoim, according to Reb Chutzpah's name. Yes. He doesn't have to have land. He can use the Yisomim's land, and vice versa. Yeah. But according to the Chacham, you would not be able to. Yeah. Okay. And the footnote. I didn't look up in Shulchan Aruch what the halacha is, but it's interesting that the Rambam. The Rambam, when in Pirush HaMishnayos, says that there's no one who's chaylok on Rav Chutzpah, and therefore the halacha is like him. Whereas Rav Chaim says no, that they're actually, it's muchach in the Yerushalmi from the way he's learning, that the Chacham do argue on Rav Chutzpah.
But the Bavli
does say it? I forgot about that.
The Bible talks about the Kelah, but maybe there is no discussion. Well, this is a Mishnayos. I don't know what there's no. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if there's a discussion about anything further in Gittin.
The brackets, 9, the brackets, it says, it should be noted, this conclusion of Yerushalmi that land owned in partnership is not valid basis for a prosbo is not cited by Rambam or Shulchan Aruch. So that's what I was telling you, that the Rambam didn't hold that there was a machlokas about it. Whatever. Okay. You know, I can't tell you the halacha. Kveres Tvarim, okay. Now we're going to go on to the next topic, which is the beehive. So Rabbi Abraham, Rabbi Shimon, Malkish, Tamid, Rabbi Lazar, Vayavaham, Malah, Yavinei, Halach, Vash. That Rabbi Lazar held, again, let's review the machlokas. Rabbi Lazar holds that it has a halacha like karka, and therefore you can write a prosbo, you can therefore write a Mimino, B'Shamas, Eschayim, Chatos, and it's not Makabal Tumma, because it's considered Makabal karka. So the Gemara and the Chacham disagree. They say, no, it's Tolish, and you can't write a prosbo, it is Makabal Tumma, and you cannot write prosbo. What else? And a write a Mimino, B'Shamas, is Potter. So the Gemara proves this from a pasuk. This is by 14. It brings from Shmuel Aleph Parak Yudal at pasuk Havvav in preparation for battle against the Philistines. So Shaul HaMelech said, "Don't eat food until evening." Shaul's son Yonasan didn't know about the declaration, and he did have some food. Anyway, so the pasuk says the people came to the forest, and behold, there was an oozing of honey. So Machrami, you know, what do you see from that? Amar Mana Hursham Mapik Tvash. The Khurfram Mapik Tvash is a question. Can a forest produce honey? Of course not. So it's telling me that the beehive is considered like the forest, it's considered like land. So that's the Raya. That's Rabbi Eliezer's Raya, that it's Mukhubar. We're talking about, well, we're going to clarify what kind of beehive we're talking about. The Ilo Amar, if you were to quote the next pasuk, it would have been a better ride, the Gemara says, because it says over there, Vayibo Osa Beyaras Dvash, he dipped it into the forest of honey. Yes, it would have been better, because there, the previous pasuk, you could have just said that it means that there was honey across the field or something like that. But here it's very clear, it says Yaras Hadvash, it really calls the Dvash a forest of honey, so it's a direct comparison. It would have been a better pasuk. And some say, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shlomo, Shamar, Shamat Yosei, he actually heard him say when he quoted this Rish Lakish Maimer that he actually quoted the next pasuk.
Well, we don't see that the same way the forest is a conglomeration of individual trees, but the honey, the beehive, which is a conglomeration of all these different things together, that's why it's called forest. It's using the word forest because it's karka. It's not based on construction.
Right. It's an asmachta. Manag hayomim, imam chubaras l'karkas. The Gemara asked a simple question. What are we talking about? Are we talking about where it's attached to the ground? Kol amamayde shika karka. Of course, everybody, even a chacham, would agree that it has a halacha like karka if it would be attached. Imam nesunah agam, you say this, if it's put on top of stakes, then kol amamayde shenaka karka, of course, it would be metatlan. Okay, kanan kayomim nechazakav karka. It's talking about it's resting on the ground. So it's not attached to the ground, it's resting on the ground. It's permanently. It's not permanent. It's there's a designated spot for it, right?
It's connected with clay.
It's not connected.
No,
it's not connected. If there would be connected, everybody would agree it's kakarka. There would be no machlokas. Has to be the machlokas or blanda hachamim is when it is just laying on the ground. For asya kai do amar of the erev b'shem of b'yomiyah, that it's coming out like this. He says, "Kaisin posvel on mukamer shel tanur, on mukamer shel kira." That if you have these large ovens which are not attached to the ground, but they're sitting on the ground, that if I have permission to have my tanur there on your property, that since you gave me permission to have it there, that karka of that the tanur is on is eligible to be used for posvel. It may not, however, be written based on the oven itself, right, which is resting on the ground. So that would be the sages saying the same thing, that the kiveres just laying on the ground is like just like you can't use the tanur, you can't use the kiveres. So what about the ground? What about the ground where the kiveres is staying? What's the Gemara doing over here? It's playing a game over here. You're telling me the chachamim agree that you can use the ground underneath the tanur. And now you're telling me that's the basis for saying that the kibaris is no good, but what about the ground that the kibaris is on?
Because it seems like the tanur is more connected to the ground. It's heavier.
It's heavier.
The ground itself?
No, the tanur is heavier. Yeah. So therefore, it's more of a...
It's not connected.
So they ask this on the bottom, and it says, Achrenim say... that we're talking about a case where you put the kiveres on the ground without rishus. So it's
someone else's
property without rishus. Very daichik. So the whole machlokas is only in that case. Comes out there's no real machlokas between Rosh and the Chacham. It's a very daichik
teretz. It's attached or it's not attached, period.
If it's not attached, but I have permission, everybody agrees. You have at least the ground itself. I don't understand. Rav Chiya bar Ado Amar, Af Mekamer Shel Ner, even if it's a lamp, if I get permission to place my lamp on your ground, that also is considered a makom. It doesn't have to be a large space, and it doesn't have to be a big, heavy oven. It could even be a light, kind of a light, right?
But you don't own the land. You don't own the land.
I have a right to put my lamp on your land. That's right. Good enough. Af a pas.
So you don't have to own it.
So what about removing bread? Would that also be the same machlokas? In other words, just like by if you take out honey from a beehive. It's a shaila whether you're chayv chatas from mokum gedulei on Shabbos. So maybe if I put a bread into an oven, that's where it's going to be completed. The fruit of the oven, so to speak, is the baked challah. Maybe...
but you
put it in yourself, right?
Honey is
being put in by the bees. Put the honey in. Anyway, so the Gemara answers basically what you're saying. Tavash gidulei kiveres. Honey is considered the product of a beehive. Pas ain't a gidulei a tanur. It's not a product. You put it in there and it gets baked. So you can't prove one thing from the other. So the Gemara.
The reason is because the honey keeps increasing.
Oh, and it increases as well.
And the bread is...
Correct. That is correct. Gemara says, a person returns a chov on shvias, he should say Rishabatani. Rav Huna Amar, this is great. Huna says, Masafa Rafa, the lender could say, I relinquish the debt in a low tone, but for Hayamin Pshuta Lakabo, but his right hand is outstretched to receive the payback. You know, you don't have to pay me. Not to pay me. It's like tomorrow, if I bring in food from the Siyam, it's on me. It's on me.
It's on me.
Similar to that. Anyway, Yotzimei Roed Seyach, Simili Roed Seyach, who goes to Golos, Shomim Biosi, Hadarma, and so it says he has to say, he has to say, I'm a killer if they try to give him COVID. So the Gemara ends off with the famous Gemara, Shomim Biosi, Hadarma, Vanash, the Toni Chadom Yelchlo, if a person is, knows one Masechta of Shas, and then the Olam gives him COVID as if he knows two Masechtas of Shas, he's Mukhiv to tell them, right? He has to tell them, I only know one Masechta. Don't give me too much covet. You're giving me too much covet, right? So there's a big yisod over here, I think. You know, even though it's very cute and it's clever, but you see a very big yisod over here. When you give covet to someone, the way you give him covet is different if he knows one Masechta than if he knows two Masechtas. You don't just give carte blanche, there's kovet hamei chacham, that's all I know. I mean, I never thought about this before, but this Gemara is muchach, that there's a different level of kovet for one masakta versus two masaktas that is noticeable, and I have to object. If you give me kovet like two masaktas and I only know one, I have to tell you I only know one, don't give me so much kovet. So yeah, it's
when you say Harab Abayim, when you say it, slowly stretch out the Hagol. How do you do that? If it's only one Masechta, so Hagol.
You leave that Hagol.
You say Hagol.
You leave that Hagol.
You're going to have to come up with something better than that. Yeah. Hamash Lechol B'Shviyas, Rachacham Nochem. I know if a person returns a debt on Shviyas, the Chacham are happy with you. That's, I mentioned this earlier. If a person borrows money from a ger, and his children are magayer with him, then lo yachsel avonav. If this is stam in the belt, right? This has nothing to do with shvius. If the ger dies, so I borrowed from their father, but since he's not really related to them anymore because they all were magayer, so it's kakot and shenela dummy, so I shouldn't have to return it to them because. Right. He has no relatives. I can keep the money, right? He need lo yachsel avonav. Therefore, means he need not. It doesn't say you're not allowed to. V'mehechzer, but if you did repay him, ruach chachamim recommend it's good, because obviously that's going to make them feel like this is a. It's nice people. Nice to be a part of this nation.
It was worth converting.
Yeah. Kol matatul nikna. You can acquire movable objects through Mashiach. V'chol ha'makayim es tavaro. If you keep your word, rochacham nechemenu. Meaning, so if I go ahead and I say, I'm going to pay you $100 for this watch, and we make a deal, and then I didn't get around to making the Mashiach, and then what happens? Let's see here. It says, even if he only gave his word without performing Mashiach, he should nevertheless keep his word. Right? It says...
Back out of the deal. This looks like a
chanchal
mission.
Yeah, Hin Tzedek. Actually, Hin Shalchot Tzedek is based on a pasuk. Okay. Adkan, and tomorrow, Mi'as Hashem, we're going to finish the Masechta.